What can I say about episode 4? I had yet again the pleasure to speak to someone whose work I truly admire. Rich Fye seems to promote the ones that came before him more than himself. He's a proud New Yorker, and it shows in his representation of tough New York-style tattoos. Rich and I discussed the New York tattooers who helped shape this very recognizable tattoo style. So I just want to thank you for taking the opportunity to fit me in your schedule and chatting with me.
Really, well, I got nothing but an open schedule. It's like a doomsday podcast, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, eh?
Yeah, I mean,
it's getting a little crazy out there right now, but hopefully everybody abides by
the... Is it crazy over there, too?
Yeah, it's pretty much a ghost town. I'm up here in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, so it's pretty quiet here as well. But just want to say I've it's a pleasure talking to you. I've always been a big fan of your work.
Oh, I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, I've actually sailed down to New York a few times when I was in the Canadian Navy, and I love it down there, man. It's great. People are amazing. People are wonderful.
We get a bad rap. New Yorkers get a bad rap. Everybody thinks we're rude and shitty because we're just quick, we talk fast, but we're not rude. We just get shit done. You know what I'm saying?
No, I actually worked with a couple guys from New York when I was in Afghanistan, a couple of Marines. We'd eat supper together almost every other day. And it almost actually changed my perspective on the U.S. as a whole, because I didn't really know a ton of people from there. So, and no, I got lots of love for you guys down there. So I've been a huge...
Well, I'm going to be fair. I have a lot of love for New York. If I'm going to be fair, I have a lot of love for New York City. I probably have the same thoughts about a lot of America that you do.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that.
New York City is a little different.
It's funny you say that, because that's something I wanted to touch base with on one thing I've always noticed just following your career. It seems you almost kind of promote New York more than yourself. Like, you have so much love for where you're from and the people there. It's really like, I don't know. I'm a big believer on showing respect for what you love. And where I'm from in Nova Scotia here, I show lots of love for it as well. So I've always kind of appreciated, especially the guys that came before you and tattooed before you, and some of the relationships that you've created over the years. It's really humbling from what I've seen. So.
Well, it is with I've had conversations with people like there's no really reason to be proud of where you're from, because you didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? You didn't make yourself from there. You just were either lucky or unlucky enough to be born in a certain place.
Yep.
But when it comes to New York City, especially in the tattoo realm, it is the birthplace of electric tattoo, and mm-hmm. If I can feel like I can add to the culture of New York City tattooing, then I feel like it is important that I'm here, that I was born here, and that, I'm a native New Yorker doing native New York style tattoos. So it's always been a point of a lot of pride for me. I mean, it's an accident that I was born here. I could have been born anywhere, but it's my favorite accident that ever happened.
For sure. Like, and that's another thing too, New York tattooing, like, for me, like, I love tattooing. I'm not a tattooer. I've just been a fan, loved them for almost 30 years. My dad had tattoos. I just thought they were cool. I grew up by one of the best tattoo shops to ever come out of Canada, Sailor Jerry Swallows Tattooing. Beautiful shop.
Yeah, Jerry's a great dude.
Yeah.
I've hung out with Jerry a couple times. He's a great guy.
Yeah, but there's something about a New York tattoo. Like, I almost feel like I could pick them out in, like, a lineup. There's just something tough, and like, it's just a traditional, it just has a look to it, and I almost can't even explain it. What's your thoughts on that? Like, especially being from there.
Well, I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of where, like, just because of who the guys I hung around with, I have a pretty good understanding of where that New York style comes from, because the New York style is basically a Coleman style tattoo. You know, it's a Coleman style tattoo, but it's done more, less nonsense. No nonsense. I don't mean to say that that tattoo has nonsense in it, but it's no nonsense because of the way that these people would, you know, New Yorkers could be very, brash. So what happens is I feel like a guy like Tony Polito, for example, I've talked to him many times before he passed away about the New York style, and he, what he basically would say is that, like, he put colors in where they didn't belong because if he didn't, the people would complain. So it became almost a style of necessity. So if you see an eagle head and it's got green in it for no reason, you're like, why did he put green in his eagle head? I would ask Tony questions like that, and he would say, well, if I just left it blank, they thought I was trying to cheap him out of something. You know, or if two guys paid $35 for a tattoo and one guy had five colors and the other guy had four colors, the guy with four colors would come back the next day and say, hey, you fucked me over. You gave my buddy five colors for $35 and you gave me only four colors for $35. And Tony would say to them, well, you know, you don't need purple in that tattoo. There's no place for me to put it. No, like, oh, you're trying to get over on me, because everybody in New York tends to think that everybody's trying to get over on him all the time. Yeah. So what happened is it became a style of necessity where he would pack all these weird colors into places that didn't really belong. They would look very bold and very solid. And so it's the Coleman style mixed with this style of necessity from people being a little bit obnoxious here. And that's what I think created that New York style tattoo.
Awesome, man. It's funny you mentioned Tony. I've multiple times watched the sit down with all those New York greats, and I actually had the privilege of talking to Ronnie Delacqua the other day. And I mean,
I love Ronnie. Ronnie's one of my best friends.
And I mean, knowing that these guys have been tattooing so long, but the quality of work hasn't suffered. Like, it's still top notch. If you want to go get a fucking tough tattoo, you go see a guy like that. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, yeah, he's been doing it a long time. Jerry tattooed me about a year. It was Christmas of 2018, tattooed my head twice. And they're just as good or better than tattoos that are being put out by some of these younger fellas. Like,
oh, for sure. Jerry, I mean, Ronnie's great. I mean, I have a lot of tattoos from Ronnie. He's one of my best friends. I consider him family. You know, I've worked with him as co-workers. I done tons of conventions with Ronnie. I can't say anything more than I have nothing but love for that dude. And Jerry happens to be, strangely enough, a big influence on me, because the guy who actually taught me, the two guys taught me to tattoo, Rob Freund and Dave Mowers. Rob Freund, when Jerry had a heart attack, quite a few years back, probably almost 20 years ago, Rob Freund wind up going up there for 2 weeks and covering his shop while Jerry was recovering, and he spent a lot of time with Jerry, and they're very good friends, and Jerry taught him a lot, and then that knowledge came back to New York City, and it was passed to me. And, you know, that's the great thing about tattooing. It's like, you know, you think that it's such a small world that you get these influences from the whole over.
Yeah, it definitely bridges a gap between cultures and race, and like you said, who taught you came up to this little small town of Neglasco, Nova Scotia, Canada, and most people don't know where the hell it is or care. But I've always had
some guy paid him. He said that some guy, like, one of, like, the shop, like, hangarounds at Jerry's was, like, he wanted a tattoo from Rob, but, you know, I guess he didn't have a lot of bread on him, so he, like, Rob's like, don't worry about it, I'll give you a tattoo. He gave him, like, a little tattoo, and then he said the guy came back later and just, like, put, like, this deer liver in his lap. He was like, here, I went hunting, and he was like, a deer liver as payment, so, yeah.
That sounds about right.
You've
had the opportunity to befriend guys like Tony Polito and Ronnie and Pete Giaquinto, Mike Profeta, who's still fucking a top-notch tattooer. What did you learn from these guys, like hanging out with them, and probably maybe you didn't talk shop, but maybe you talked other stuff. But what did you learn from these guys having the opportunity to befriend them?
You know, I say all the time, I feel like I almost had a few different apprenticeships in my life. Like Rob Freund and Dave Mowers taught me to tattoo, and then maybe a decade after that, I wound up really becoming close friends with Ronnie and Pete. Pete's Chiquinto shop is in my neighborhood. It's still there. Obviously, he's passed away, you know. Mm-hmm. But I befriended them, and then they taught me a lot about being, you know, a New York City tattooer, in a sense. Like, where, the, like, I've been already tattooing for 10 years, but those guys taught me a lot about the whole, like, swagger of it all. And then later on in my career, I got to work for Richie Montgomery. I worked for him one day a week, and he is an absolute wizard. He knows more about the technical side of tattooing than I think anybody I've ever met. And he kind of schooled me on, like, the technical side of things. And then, you know, the last apprenticeship maybe was Tony Polito, where he just taught me... It's hard to explain what Tony what he taught me, because it was more about the, just being around him, it was more about the magical side of tattooing, not to sound all weird and spiritual, but there was just a certain energy that this dude had that he would, I don't know, like anybody I've ever met that was around that guy became a better tattooer just from being around him. And he wouldn't really talk shop. Like, he wouldn't really tell you much, like, as far as, like, technical aspects. I think it was just, he was basically like a Babe Ruth type figure, like, where he was born to do a certain thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He was just the best at something.
Well, with that said.
So just being around greatness just, I think, makes you better.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I was like that when I went into Horiyoshi's shop last year, and you had to sit on the floor with your legs crossed, and it was almost like a religious experience. It felt like there was something more than just a tattoo there. I totally appreciate what you're saying.
It was pretty wild. It was pretty wild to become such good friends with him. I mean, I, like, you know, Profeta also, who you mentioned. Like, I still hang with Profeta all the time. I text back and forth with him almost every day. Like, he's another guy. It's just being around greatness. You can't figure out how they're so good at what they do. It's just, they're just like almost people that are born to do a certain thing. And now, like, if you think about tattooing, it's like, it's an obvious choice to become a tattooer. Like if you see television shows or you see people on Instagram, you're like, that looks like a cool job. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's an obvious choice. Whereas years ago in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, this was a strange choice to make as a profession. You know what I mean? It was a weird idea to I'm going to draw pictures on people for a living and do this for the, you know, the next 50 years. You know, a lot of people didn't do that as a full-time profession. So these guys that have been in these trenches for so long, they just know a different side of tattooing than I think anybody else will ever know. Yeah. They'll never be guys like that again, because they did it before it was so mainstream and accepted.
Yeah, like, I mean, with having all that group of guys around you that have been doing it so long, how do you feel, like, the state of tattooing is now, or where it's going? Is it in a good place, would you say? Or, like you said, it's everyone...
I think it's better than ever.
Yeah?
Excuse my cough. That's from 30 years of Marlboros, not from coronavirus. But, yeah, I think it's better than ever. I mean, I think my shop is, you know, I have a lot of young people that tattoo in my shop. Yeah, just as much as I learned from those old timers, I learned from the young people.
Yeah.
Because they're pushing it in a new direction as far as, like, how good tattoos can be. Mm-hmm. People that have helped along the way are become better tattooers than I ever could be. So it's like, I have a proudness for that. I think tattooing is in a better place than it ever has been, and I think it's going to continue to go, but I'm a positive guy.
Yeah.
I could see how some people think that the locked door, you know, biker aspects were cooler. But as far as the actual tattoos getting put on people, there's never been a better time. Yeah. Was it cooler years ago? Probably.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Punk rock was cooler that long ago. New York hardcore was cooler, you know, a long time ago. But it's better now. Whether it's cooler, it's better now.
Exactly. You're lucky enough. You have a really good crew in your shop there too at R&D. Like,
yeah, we got nothing but fucking killers over there. Snipers, yeah. Sniper City.
Awesome.
I got a lot of good tattooers, and they pushed me to be a better tattooer. I'm 45 years old. I've been tattooing just about 20 years now, and it's, you know, I'm getting better now than I have been. Where it's, I see a lot of people that aren't around younger people. Once they start hitting those 20 year marks, you just start seeing their tattoos look very dated. But because I'm around all these, you know, young cats that are, like I said, are all killers, they push me to be better. I can give them a little bit more, you know, I can give them a little bit of help on the, you know, technical side, and then, you know, on the artistic side, they can help me.
What led you into the tattoo world? Like, that's the thing I'm always curious. Like, it's such a, like you said, nowadays people go on Instagram, it looks cool, but years ago, it was like there was no Instagram, there was no social media, just beginning of internet.
Yeah.
Like, what got you into the concept of doing it?
I'm probably around the last generation that tattooed before computers were in a shop. Like, the first 10 years or so, I probably tattooed. Maybe a little less. There wasn't a computer in the shop. It was either flash based or just custom drawn based. But to your question, I was in the punk rock and New York hardcore scene for, you know, since I'm a young teenager, and I wanted to, you know, tour in bands and be in a punk rock band my whole life, and that didn't work out. I started getting older, and I started getting tattooed a lot because in that scene and in that punk rock culture, tattooing is, you know, part of the quote-unquote uniform.
Yeah.
And I started getting tattooed a lot, and then it was just like, I wanted to wake up at noon. I saw all these tattooers. I knew they were coming to work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, I want to come to the work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, too. I had a corporate job. I hated it.
Do you still get excited to tattoo? Like, I mean, you've been doing it so long. Do you still get, like, is there tattoos?
I love it.
Yeah?
Like, I work 7 days a week, and I don't have to.
Wow. That's...
I tattoo 7 days a week, and there's no reason for me to do it. I just do it because I love it. I mean, I was just talking in a group chat that I have with all the cats that work at the shop last night, and I was just like, you know, I feel like the past two days, because this coronavirus, we haven't been tattooing. I was like, I realize how much I need tattooing in my life, because I'm, like, wide awake right now. I'm on edge. Like, tattooing takes up so much of my brain space that when I don't have it and I'm not being creative, I realize how, you know, fucking mentally ill I am.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, guys who've been tattooing so long, do you still enjoy it? I mean, even people who say they love their job, you know, at times can be a bit of a headache and a fucking nightmare. But I always wonder, like, do you still get excited to do that tattoo, especially like a first tattoo for somebody? Like, what would be your advice for
100%?
Yeah, what would be your advice for someone that's coming into your shop looking for their first tattoo? Like,
I mean, my shop is very much like in outer borough. We're in Queens, you know, in Queens. We're not in Manhattan. It's very family vibes. You know, people come in. We're always joking around. It's open floor. It's not like we're in private rooms. I mean, everybody pretty much that leaves my shop is always like, yo, I love this shop. It's just like I'm going to, like, hang out with my friends, and you guys are all joking around. Like, it's real easy. You know, I always tell people my house is your house. I don't have any tattitude. I don't believe in that. I just like to chill. If I wanted to make, you know, exorbitant amounts of money, I could do something different than to do tattoos. I do tattoos because I love it. I do tattoos because I feel like I never go to work every day.
Yeah.
So someone coming into the shop, I think, feels those vibes pretty much. And anybody I hire kind of has those vibes also, because you spend more time with these people that you're tattooing alongside than you do with your own family. So I only make sure that it's, you know, people that kind of have the same vibes for tattooing than I do. Like, I wouldn't be able to have somebody that's in it for just, like, strictly the money. I'm in it for love.
That's really cool, man. That's great. How was it doing the guest spot at the Magic Touch that Bert Crack had set up there?
That was really cool. You know, Bert's a good friend of mine. We came up about the same time. So I know him, you know, for a good number of years. And we've always been pretty good buddies. And we always kind of just the two guys that held Polito in this really high esteem. Mm-hmm. So when he asked me, I was like, you know, for sure, I'm definitely down to do it. You know, there's like a lot of cool art there. And, you know, it's like I'm weary sometimes of like tattooing, going into like these mainstream pockets of society. But that was done so well. And, you know, it was done with, you know, surrounded by street art. And you know, everything that was about that show was a home run. I mean, he really, from the organizers down to Bert, down to, you know, the shop guys that were running for us, everything was a home run. Really cool vibes.
Yeah, it looked like it had a kind of like a sitting out on the stoop, tattooing your buddy kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Bert has some family that comes from my neighborhood. He's out there in Brooklyn. I'm out here in Queens, and he's got some family that come from my neighborhood, and they have a business where they like make like awnings and stuff like that. So he had like his cousins come in and do like these like real like, you know, neighborhood style, like awnings and gates on the place. So like really had like, it really, really reminded me of, you know, growing up in New York in like the 1980s, like, you know, and just having these like do the right thing vibes. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but this kind of just vibe like that, you know?
That's awesome. So I saw a photo of this and it just made me think like what was going through his head when you tattooed Tony Polito's hand.
Oh, that was terrifying.
Yeah, I was wondering, because for a man who's tattooed for 50 years, the New Yorkers, for 50 years, like, that's his moneymakers. And it's like, I was wondering what was going through your head, like, how you felt at that
time. It was like I tattooed the hand that tattooed New York, I said, I think I posted it. And it's funny, because, like, I'm a diehard New York Mets fan. I love the Mets, and Tony's wife, Sugar, also loves the Mets.
Oh, okay.
So me and Tony's wife would talk all the time about the Mets and, you know, whatever. And then, like, after I tattooed me and Tony's wife became real close. She calls me her son and everything like that. And when I asked Tony, after I finished the tattoo, I was like, why'd you have me do that tattoo? And not this guy or this guy or this guy. He's like, because Sugar would be the least mad at you. She likes you. So that's the reason I was the choice. The wife would get the least mad if I did it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I could imagine there'd be some nerves there.
Yeah, it was really scary. It was very scary. It was at the Philadelphia Tattoo Convention too. So there's like, you know, 25 tattooers that I respect standing around me while I'm doing it. Kaboom.
And do you like to travel?
Well, it wasn't even like it was at it.
Do you like to travel a lot and hit up the conventions, or do you like to kind of stay close to home?
I don't travel much. I like to do Philadelphia every year because it's like a, family reunion type of vibes where it's like people I only get to see once a year. And I go to do some guest spots here and there. I like to go to Electric in New Jersey because those guys I think that's one of the best shops on the planet. And I love all those dudes. So to go there and tattoo is an honor. Other than that, I don't really, you know, travel. I'm very busy where I'm at. You know, I have a neighborhood clientele of, you know, a couple decades long neighborhood clientele that don't care that I have a lot of Instagram followers or that I used to hang out with Tony Polito. And then I have the people that know me from that, Instagram and such. You know, the more like tattoo collector style guy coming in to get tattooed by me. So, between those two, the neighborhood and the Instagram, I stay pretty busy at home. I don't really need to travel.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I've done a couple of these. This is my fourth one. And the one thing I've talked to both to the different guys I spoke to is how it doesn't seem like there's a lot of competition. Like everyone kind of seems to like get along well. Like, hey, go check out this guy's shop. Like he's really good. If you're down in New York, go see Rich. Like, do you know what I mean? Like it's, there's not a lot of like, fuck, I don't want this guy going here. Maybe he's going to not come and see me. There seems to be like a bit of a brotherhood behind it. Like everyone kind of seems to root for
him. I think those vibes are pretty new. Yeah. I think that's pretty new. I've always tried to be like that, but I think that just the internet making people aware of all these different tattooers, and it's opening up so many more avenues for people to, you know, so many more people that they want to get tattooed by that, you know, to fight that would be silly. I think that years ago when I first started and it was more bikers and less soccer moms, then you were talking about less people were getting tattooed, so maybe you tried to hold on to those customers a little differently and tried to, like, you know, maybe, you know, say, hey, why are you getting tattooed there? You should get tattooed here. Whereas that has slowly morphed into, you know, what we see going on now, which I think is way better. I mean, just the other day, I did a tattoo on a kid, and it's like, he comes in to get tattooed. I said, where are you getting tattooed? He pulls up his he was a guy from, Finland. He pulls up his leg, his leg of his pants, and he's got a bandage on. He's like, oh, I want to get it right here. So I'm like taking off the bandage because Bert just tattooed him. Then I'm tattooing him. Then I'm bandaging both. And then he said he was going somewhere else, you know, tattoo. So it's like, you know, tell those dudes I said, what's up? Tell this, you know, there's so much more to go around now. It's not just like the shitty neighborhood biker getting tattooed. There's people coming to New York City to get tattooed from Finland. Like, you know, we don't really need to try to hold on to these customers like for dear life. The pie is much bigger.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what Ronnie was saying. He said back in the day in New York, like all the guys would, you know, they'd go around, they'd hang out, and they weren't fighting. They weren't fighting one another within their realm. But yeah, you're probably right. Back in the day with the bikers, it was. There wasn't as much food on the table for everybody. Now it's everyone's getting tattooed. It's
New York. I mean, knowing those guys too, for like his favorite, like from Ronnie said, New York always had this one particular clique too. There was this clique of like these traditional tattooers. You know, Ronnie was included in that, and Tony and Peachy Quinto and Big Joe from Mount Vernon, and you know, all the there's a particular clique in New York, and I think that they were pretty comfortable with people going in between them, but there was other cliques that maybe were not, you know, where tattooing is still cliquey, but I think, you know, just being around the experience of the New York guys, it seems like they had a very particular clique that I don't know really was everywhere. I think those dudes just had a particular friendship that went past business.
There's just so much history with New York tattooing. When any book that I've ever went through, and even just the machines alone, with, you know, with Charlie Wagner making the alterations to the coil machine and pretty much setting things up the way it is now. Like New York's kind of like the hub of, like you said, electric tattooing.
It's wild. It's wild that, you know, it's like wild if you really put if I really like. Try to just like backtrack on people that have helped me throughout the course of my career. It's like I could pretty much get right back to Charlie Wagner. I can pretty much get right back to, you know, O'Reilly inventing the machine, you know, like the lineage. It's like, oh, this guy helped this guy, that guy helped this guy, so on and so forth. And it's like, then you get right back to it because, but I mean, I get back to it in very few steps, but if I guess anywhere in the country, you can get back to it somehow, but.
Yeah, for sure.
Here, you get back to it in very few steps.
One thing I noticed is, especially nowadays, where a lot of guys are just going after the buck. Like I'll take a stab in the dark and guess that you got had a pretty hard apprenticeship with, as far as more of like the traditional old school apprenticeship, and you know.
That stab in the dark would be completely wrong. Yeah. I had the easiest apprenticeship there ever was.
Oh, really?
I was already getting tattooed by the dude that I got tattooed for the first time when I was 15.
Yeah.
And I didn't start learning tattoos until I was 25. So I had a 10-year relationship with the dude.
Oh, Oh, wow.
The dudes that taught me, and I pretty much just brought in like good Italian food every day, you know, and you know, I would bring in lunch and, you know, joke around. I had a different relationship though, because I'm learning from somebody that I, you know, I had two sleeves from, 10 years of friendship with, you know, and we had a good, really good relationship, you know, we were really good friends. So I didn't have the, quote unquote tough relationship. I never scrubbed the toilet or anything like that. Like,
so, I mean, you've already had
my buddies.
You had an established relationship with the guy who taught you then. I mean,
the two guys that taught me, yeah. One, the one guy, Dave, who's still my partner at R&D, I didn't know him that well. Because I started getting tattooed when tattooing was still illegal in New York City.
Yeah.
It was illegal from 97 forward. I got tattooed in the very early 90s by Rob Freund. And Rob, wow. He was the original R in R&D. It was Rob and Dave.
Yeah.
Rob, I knew since I was 15. So when I started coming around to R&D and learning the tattoo here, I had already known Rob for quite a number of years, and he was always already a good friend. I knew Dave from around the neighborhood a bit, and I became fast friends with him too. So it wasn't like I didn't have the apprenticeship that you hear about. If I'm going to call it fair, I don't know many people from my generation that have.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's
my generation of tattooers, you know, you do an apprenticeship. Apprenticeship was more, you know, I think that this slave labor type vibe that people have going on now is pretty new.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. I want to really thank you for giving me an opportunity to chat with you. I've been a long time lover of your work. It's pretty much, when I think of a New York tattoo from the last 20 years, it's you. Your name always popped up in my head anywhere I've seen it. So,
well, that's nice of you to say.
I really appreciate what you're doing for the trade, and you seem to be preserving the history with pushing forward some of these guys who, they're not on social media, so they're not a big deal, quote unquote, but they really are. They're the guys who started the whole fucking thing, like, and you really put them in the limelight and get people in touch with them and understand who they were, and it's really cool. And I'm a history guy, so
I try to do that,
and I really appreciate it. I think it's really cool.
We're only as strong as a link in the chain, right? If we can't be a link in the chain and worry about what happened before us and then keep it going forward, then the chain breaks. So you can only be can only be a link in the chain is the way I see it.
Exactly. Well, once again, I just want to thank you for your time, my friend. And I wish you all the best. And
right on. Good luck. Good luck with this podcast. If I can get you, if there's any guests that you want to get that I'm friends with, just give me a text. You got my cell phone number now. I can vouch for you.
All right, brother. I really appreciate it. And you take care in these crazy times we're going through. And all the best to you, okay?
Yeah, you too, my friend.
All right. Cheers, buddy.
You see.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So getting the opportunity to speak to someone whose work will stand the test of time like those he admires was certainly a treat for me. Not to mention speaking about men who I've only read about was an honor. When you're done listening to this, go to read about this great city's history and its contributions to tattooing. Keep an eye out for episode 5, and I truly hope everybody's enjoying what I'm doing.